thank you for tuning in to the radio ministry of Clearview Church. At Clearview, our focus is making Christ visible and providing an atmosphere of worship and community. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message by Pastor Abadan Shah.
Some years back, a couple of our kids were complaining to Nicole about how much we make them work around the house and how much we should be paying them. They were looking for money. They didn't realize that I was in the other room listening in on the conversation, hearing them gripe. So I pulled out a piece of paper, and I'm sure many of you parents have done that at some point. And I began to write down all the things that we do for them that they owe us for. And Nicole helped me on that, so we began to write down rent, $200 a month. Food, $200, but which was kind of a bottom number because they eat a lot. Gas, about $100 to travel them around and to shuttle them everywhere, you know. And all these other things, clothes and field trips and everything, and we added all that up and we tallied it with what they said we owed them, and we came to realize, and they came to realize, that they actually owed us. We had balance left over. They had to pay us. At that point, they dropped the claim. They said, we're good as we are. I said, well, good. I'm glad we took care of that. In Malachi, the people were also complaining against God. They were saying, God, you owe us this, you owe us that. And God confronted them. They were trash-talking God. They were talking behind his back against him. God came face to face, but they were so belligerent that they even talked to God disrespectfully. They trash-talked to his face. This morning, we're going to see what that really means. It's coming from the Word of God, Malachi chapter 3. We're in this series, have been for the past 5 weeks, starting in verse 13. And let's all stand together for the reading of God's Word. God says, your words have been harsh against me. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. Verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and meditate on his name. Before we get into the message and try to understand what it means when we say trash-talking God, we need to examine our hearts today. I need to examine my heart this morning. What do I say about God? What do you say about God? Do you trash-talk his name? Or do you fear him? You know, there is a place for fear. It's not a fright of God. We're going to see that in a moment. But there is a certain reverence about the fact that he is God, I am not. In his presence, I need to be silent. Do people hear you talking about God, or do they hear you talking about others? Do you build people up, or do you tear people down? This message applies on various levels. Are you saved? If you're not, you need to right now, as I'm even preaching to you, voice that prayer to God and say, God, I don't know you, but I need to know you, and you sent Jesus so that I can know you. He gave his life for me. Throughout this book of Malachi, God was holding the people of Israel in contempt for their words. Now, that's a courtroom terminology, to hold someone in contempt because they were being disrespectful towards God. They were trash-talking about God behind his back, but when God confronted them through Malachi, they actually reiterated what they were saying, but this time to God's face. Listen to what it says in Malachi 1:2. We already went over this. I have loved you, says the Lord, yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Probably they were going around telling people, God doesn't love, God doesn't care, God doesn't take care of us. And God says, okay, I'm calling you out. Why are you saying that about me? And instead of saying, God, I'm sorry, I'm guilty as charged, I messed up, I should not be talking like that, they were saying, yeah, how have you loved us? There's a sense of belligerence. You know what I mean by that? They were so disrespectful, they didn't care if they were saying it to the face of God. Now, the only time they said it again, in Malachi chapter 1:7, God says, you offered defiled food on my altar, which means this, you are bringing the lamb with a broken leg, you're bringing the stolen lamb, and you offer it on the altar instead of saying, God, I'm sorry, we should not be doing that. Their response, in what way have we defiled you? What, is that not good enough for you? Oh, you want the best. Again, in Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, says God. Instead of saying, God, I know, I'm sorry, we should be tithing, we should be giving the grace giving, we should be putting our offering in, I'm sorry, we're guilty. Their response, in what way have we robbed you? See, they had become so used to God that they were not afraid to talk back to God and to his face. You can call this the sin of excessive familiarity. You know what it means to be excessively familiar with someone? You get so used to that person that you are talking to them on the same level. These people had become excessively familiar with God. They had lost sight of who God was. They had forgotten Habakkuk 2:20. Listen carefully. It says, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. You know, if you grew up in church, if you went to Sunday school, if you were there for every Bible study, sometimes that actually hurts us because we become too familiar. We begin to say things laughing all the time. Well, God knows me, you know. God don't care. I know God's going to punish me for that. I know that message is for me. You become excessively familiar. You are just as guilty as these people. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 13 says, be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is aroused from his holy habitation. Means know your place. He is God. You're not. Let me ask you this morning, are you infected with the sin of excessive familiarity with God? Have you lost sight of the fact that you are in the presence of the Almighty, eternal, sovereign God who controls everything? Never forget that you are just a creation. I'm just a creation. Be silent before him. So the pattern continues. Listen to verse 13. God says, your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. By the way, the Hebrew word for harsh is the word kezek, which actually means stout or heavy. Isn't that sad that God has to say that to the people? Your words have been heavy against me. Have you ever said that to someone? Man, you know, they're railing against you. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a brother. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a church family. And you say, man, look, you said too much. Have you ever said that? That's too much. I mean, they just kept coming at you. You say, well, wait a minute, that's too much. Now, you shouldn't have said that. What God is saying to the people is, your words have been too heavy against me. Calm down. Back off. But there's another meaning in it. And the meaning is this. The people of Israel were not only speaking heavy words against God, but they were also trying to force their words. When it says your words are heavy against me, it's almost like God is saying they're too much on me. It's too much on me. It's too much weight. What it means is that these people were forcing their ideas, their theology, their mold on God and saying, God, now you have to shape yourself according to my idea. People do that all the time. They say, you know, when I think about God, what I think is, and then they come up with some idea of God. Or I don't think God would ever punish you for something like that, you know. Folks, it doesn't really matter what I think and what you think. What matters is what the Word of God has to say about him. See, these people were trying to force their mold on God. Isn't that happening in our culture today, that people say, what I believe about God, and they don't quote the Bible. They have nothing to do with the Bible, their own ideas about God. God says, those words are too heavy on me. When God confronted them, listen to what they said. They said, what have we spoken against you? What do you mean our words are too heavy? What do you mean that we have said too much? Then God says, you have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? Nothing new here. They're doing the same thing they said before. What they were saying is this. You can go to church, you can pray, you can tithe, you can help, you can be doing some ministry, you can invite people to come, but it doesn't really benefit. You can do all those things and still have problems in your life, and God's not going to answer your prayers. He's not going to come through for you. They said something else. They said, and we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts. The word is kedar, which means we have walked in black. You know, when you go to a funeral, most of the time, people still wear black. It's a sign of mourning that, you know, we're in sorrow, we're in suffering. What they're saying is that we spend our whole life walking in black, and God doesn't care. But now listen to their sarcasm. Here's the sarcasm in verse 15. So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. What they were saying is this. They're saying is, sarcastically, say hello to Mr. Proud but blessed. Say hello to Mrs. Wicked but successful. They're being so hateful to God. They're saying, here's a proud person, but oh, they're blessed. Here's a wicked one, but oh, they're successful. And if we do a tiny itsy-bitsy thing against God, oh, he's going to punish us. Now, how does God respond to them? Listen to verse 16. Listen to his response. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. How did God respond to them? It's a trick question. He didn't respond to them. He moved on. I want you to hear me very carefully this morning. There comes a time when God moves on. There comes a time when you shake your fist enough towards God and you keep pushing against him. One of the saddest verses in the Bible is Romans chapter 1. I believe it's verse 24 that says, it says, therefore, God also gave them over to uncleanness. There comes a point where God says, okay, you know what? I'm just going to let you alone. And I'm going to go to those who care about me. One of the worst things that can happen to us is when God says, I'm done with you. You don't want me in your life? Fine. You know, growing up, my dad used to work with me. He was very educated. Still is. And he was a principal, then he was a professor. I mean, he did a lot of things just to supplement his income. And he would work with me, especially in math and science. So it was tough. I would come home, I had to report everything, what's on the test, what's on the quiz coming up, where are we, and how am I doing in my math? And I have to sit there with him, and I don't know how he found time to do that. And as a little boy, you know, 5th grade, 6th grade, 7th grade, I used to argue with him. Dad was very gentle, but then he would lose his cool and you'd get a little whooping. But then it'd be all okay, and we would cry. And then, you know, he would work with me again the next day. And one day, I just got a little bold. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And I said, so-and-so's dad doesn't even care. My dad just shut the book. He said, okay. We're done. I said, are we done, done? He said, yeah, we're done. You don't have to worry about this anymore. As long as you don't fail the class, I'm not going to bother you anymore. At first, I was like, man, yes. Wow, I could have done this, you know, 2 years ago, and it would have been freedom. I said, man, this is so great. I would come home, Dad would be there, and he was never mean to me. He was not like, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. He was there, but he stopped asking me about my homework. He stopped asking me about the school stuff. He had plenty of other things to do. Then about a month later, I began to miss it. So I went to him, you know, I'm only so young. And I said, Dad, why don't you ask me about the stuff anymore? Why don't you care anymore? He said, don't you remember you told me to stop bothering you? I said, well, yeah, but that's not what I really meant. Well, I'm done. The point is this, there comes a place in our lives where God says, I'm going to leave you to your own demise. Folks, if you are at that place, you need to ask God, God, please, forgive me. But now listen to what God is doing. He's moved on. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and he heard them. Now, let's focus on the word feared first. The word fear is the Hebrew word yare, which actually is not fright. You know, we're coming up on Halloween, everybody's busy scaring each other. But that's not what this word means. It's not like afraid. It has the idea of reverence. It has the idea of awe. It has the idea of, I want everything to be just right for God. These are people who are living to please God. When we say that we fear God, it's not that we're afraid of God. It's living in a way that you say, God, I want everything in my life to please you. I want it to be perfect for you. Those kind of people, listen to what they're doing. They are talking to each other about God. And what did God do? The Lord listened and he heard them. Can you picture that? God leaning down and listening to the conversation of people who are desiring to please God, talking to each other. Service is over. People walk out. One person talks to the other. Man, God really spoke to my heart today. That message was for me. And at that moment, God leans down and he's listening. Service is over. Another person walks out and says, man, I tell you what, that music was too loud for me. God said, no, not interested in that. Over here, brother, I know you've been going through some tough time lately. I can just tell, look, this is not to gossip, but I will be praying for you. I promise you I'll be praying for you. God is faithful. God's going to get you through this. You know, he's got me through this. He's got us through this. I'll be praying for you. The Lord leans down, and he is listening. Over there, two ladies are talking. I thought they broke up. No, that's not worth listening to that. Group of men walk out over here after service. And they're shooting the breeze. What are we going to eat? Where are we going to go? Man, let's get going here, man. We're going to miss the dinner line. Another group of men walk out over here and say, you know, we need to really do something in our community. We need to start reaching people. Our community is so messed up. We need Christ. People need God. God leans down and he begins to listen to them. A couple walks out over here and they're like, where are we going to eat? Well, we ate there last night. Well, why don't you just pick? I don't care where you want to eat because it's always what you want. Another couple walks out and say, you know, did you see their face today? I mean, they were going through a tough time. Let's stop and pray for them before we even go anywhere. God needs to heal their marriage. God needs to help so-and-so. Folks, do you get what I'm saying? Those are the conversation when God leans over and he begins to eavesdrop to what you're saying. Because those are conversations that are pleasing to God. Those are conversations that glorify God, that bring God into the lives of human beings. But listen, God doesn't stop there. Listen to what he does. So a book of remembrance was written before him. Recording angel, I want you to write down everything they're talking about, because they're talking about me. Write it down. Everything? Oh yeah, everything. All right, God, they said, you're wonderful, you're great, you're working in their life. Oh, yeah, keep on writing. Okay, I'm done. Go over here. Yeah, I thought he broke up with her. Oh, no, not interested. Folks, do you get the point? When we are having a conversation that glorifies God, that brings God into our lives, God is interested. Dirty gossip, God says, don't waste your ink on that, angel. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and those who meditate on his name. By the way, there's something else there. Meditation means in that office, there goes so-and-so, still arguing in her mind about why she should get a raise. And there goes Mr. So-and-so. He's still trying to figure out how he's going to really tell his neighbor off this time, because the limbs keep falling on his driveway. But there's someone so-and-so over there who is saying, you know, God, I just love you, and I'm so grateful that you're in my life, and I know you can handle all this. God says, I like that. Write it down. Our conversations, our meditations, God is interested in them. And when they are pleasing to Him, He leans over and He listens to you. Does God lean over you, or does He go, oh, yuck? You know, most people find more joy in gossiping and trash talking than talking about the things of God. When I say talking about the things of God, I'm not talking about, oh, Jesus, hallelujah, amen. Those people, got to be careful of them. I'm talking about people who are glorifying God, who are edifying people. You know what I mean by edifying people? Who build people up instead of tearing them down. Someone said years ago, little people talk about people. Bigger people talk about things, but the greatest people talk about ideas. And you can rate yourself on that. That's very convicting, isn't it? It doesn't mean that you don't talk about people. It means that when you do talk about people, it is to edify them. Keep in mind, folks, that one day we will have to give an account for every idle word. Jesus said it. In Matthew 12:36, He said, but I say to you that for every idle man men may speak, they will give an account of it on the day of judgment. Can you picture that? On the day of judgment, God's going to say, okay, now, on October the 22nd, at 2:30 in the afternoon, you were talking to so-and-so. Why? Why were you tearing her down? Why were you trash-talking? And that's sad. That's scary, isn't it? We would be more careful into stopping and saying, I can't say that because I'm going to have to repeat this again. Why do we trash talk? Why do we say those things? Actually, Jesus tells us in Matthew 12:34, two verses earlier, He says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If your heart is full of Christ, what's going to come through is edification. If your heart is full of junk, what's going to come through is trash talking. Can I ask you this morning, when the Lord leans over you, what does He hear? Are you the kind of person who edifies others, or are you the kind of person who tears people down? And listen again to that verse. So a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name. God loves it when you focus upon Him. I know someone might say, that's so arrogant of God to expect us to focus on Him. Why doesn't He focus on other people? Why doesn't He say, well, think about them and think about him and think about her? Why does He want people to think on Him? Again, Donald Gray Barnhouse, one of my favorite preachers, said it so well. He said, God is perfection. And perfection is always glad when imperfection is interested in perfection. So when you and I think on God, God says, that's good. Come to my level. Now listen to the last two verses, verse 17. God says, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. The word is segula, which means my prized possession. God says there is coming a day, those who talk to each other about me, those who meditate on me as they're going through the rough times in life, one day I'm going to hold them up as a prized possession. They will be my pride and joy. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve Him. God said, there is coming a day when you will see the ones who are shining here will not shine there, but the ones who don't shine here, but they talk about me, they will be like shining expensive jewels. Missionary by the name of Christine Tinling, she lived back in the early 1900s. She was a writer. She was a missionary. And one time she visited a leper colony in Fuzhou, China. And she heard about an old man who had showed up one day at this leper colony asking for a room in which he could just die. I mean, just, he said, my life is over. He was a leper, and he knew little by little he was losing his arms and his legs and his nose, his ears. And he said, I just need a place where I can die. And he had no relatives. He was wearing a burlap that was tied together by strings. And the Christians took him in, and they fed him, and they loved him like he was their own. And one day, the Christian pastor, the Chinese pastor, visited the old man and began to share the gospel with him. And he told him that Jesus loves you and he died for you and you need him in your life. And this man, this old leper, he said, no, I don't want him. He gave himself for me, but I have nothing to give in return to him. What can I give? I'm just a poor, old, ill-smelling leper. The pastor explained to him, because that's a gift. Jesus gave you a gift. He doesn't expect anything in return. He just wants you to accept this gift of salvation. Finally, the man understood what he meant, and he accepted Christ as his Savior. And he quickly learned to love the Word of God. This old Chinese leper quickly learned, wow, there are treasure troves over treasure troves of God's wonder and mysteries and beauty. And he began to get into the Word of God, and he began to go from room to room talking to the other lepers about Jesus Christ. They were not all Christians. And he began to share with them the gospel, and many of them actually accepted Christ as their Savior. But the disease kept on creeping on him. His feet dropped off. His eyes began to fall out. And as he lay dying, the same Chinese pastor came to visit him. And he told him, he said, look, I have so many regrets. I just wish I had learned about Jesus much earlier. I just wish I had more time. I have done so little for the Lord, and I wish I could have done so much more. And then he said this, listen carefully. He said, when I reach the Father's house, do you think Jesus is going to blame me for not getting any more done? Or will he remember that I was just a rotten old sinner? And then listen to what he said. I only got 14. What he was saying was, I only got 14 people into the kingdom of God. That's all I could do. Christine Tinling then says, on the resurrection day, listen to how she says it. On the resurrection day, from a grave outside Fuzhou will rise this child of God, who in the days of his flesh was a leper and an outcast. He will have his own place in the blessed company of whom it is written, the same verse, they will be mine in that day when I make them my jewels. Who is pleasing in God's sight? Those who talk about him. Who is precious in God's sight? Those who meditate upon his name. It's not enough to say, I believe Jesus and I'm going to heaven. What matters is, how do you speak?
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. What we say matters. We hope this message encourages you to remember to glorify God with your words and how you speak to other people. Because what we say and how we say it tells others what we believe about God. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.